Elchim Talks is produced by Legal & General Investment Management, providing you with the investment ideas we just can't stop talking about. This podcast assumes a certain level of knowledge of financial markets and is intended for investment professionals.
Good morning, and welcome to our podcast on alternative credit. My name is Christy Morrison. I'm head of institutional distribution at Elgin, and I'm joined today by my colleagues, Johnny Joyner, a senior solutions strategy manager, and Martin Reeves, head of high yield.
Hello, good morning.
The topic of alternative credit has become increasingly popular with many of our pension scheme clients asking to learn more about this asset class and how they could use it. In this podcast, we explore what exactly alternative credit means and consider how it could be a useful tool within wider pension scheme strategy in the context of where we are in the current economic cycle. So what actually is alternative credit? Johnny, Martin?
So alternative credit is just basically a way that it's to avoid me writing high yield and emerging market debt over and over again. Essentially, we've just grouped those two as part of this asset class of and called it alternative credit.
Okey-doke. And why has it become increasingly popular in discussions on pension scheme strategy?
So I think there are two key reasons why that this is the case. One of these is understanding. So if we go back to the turn of the century, high yield was a pretty niche asset class and very, very concentrated. Since then, we've got many more issuers and emerging market debt. A lot of that has become now investment grade. So I think there's a greater understanding from people invested about these asset classes. Also, I think another key reason is the search for yield. So again, if we go back to the turn of the century, when you had government bond yields of 5%, spreads of 4%, so that looked less attractive than when you've got now government bond yields of 2%. And so I think this search for yield has pushed people to look into this part of the investment universe.
I think, Johnny, if we add to that as well, as you said, it's become larger. Both asset classes are well over $1 trillion now, so they are material in size. They clearly are global. And having been through a few default cycles, the asset classes have actually survived very well and have very good information ratios, very good returns that they're able to give to investors with much lower drawdowns than you'll find in equity.
Now, I know that Martin would always invest in high yield and, in fact, has all his family investing in high yield. But from a pension scheme perspective, despite that popularity and it becoming a bigger part of conversations, it typically remains quite underinvested in the context of overall strategic asset allocation. Why do you think that is?
So I think there's a few reasons. One of them is governance burden. So trustees have a lot of call on their time. And understandably, your LDI portfolio, so liability-driven investing, your allocation to investment-grade credit and equities, that understandably takes centre stage. And so I think that their key reason is that they haven't had the time to invest into research and into alternative credit. I think also the other key element, and this is one that's been more pressing recently, is the fear of investing at the wrong time. And so given the market backdrop and a lot of people that we see are talking about the end of the economic cycle, people worry, well, is this now the time to be investing in high yield and emerging market debt?
And what's your view on that, Martin?
Yes, well, it's also in my pension fund as well, not just my family owning it too. So I've been doing high yield now, I think, for about a quarter of a century. And I think when Johnny and I have talked about why it's taken time to come into the eyesight, the sight for the UK pension funds, I think we have to look at the opportunities there are in sterling. There's gilts, there's a big investment-grade corporate bond market, there's a big FTSE, which gives actually quite a lot of exposure outside of the UK. High yield and EM, predominantly dollar asset classes, there are some euro out there. And I think it's only now when there's more problems and challenges that have to be faced that people look for the wider opportunity set. So I think it's natural that people have taken time to get here. I think if you look as it happens outside of the UK, in Europe and out in the United States of America, you will find a much greater acceptance of the two asset classes.
And so you also, aside from the macro backdrop and the cycle question, you mentioned the concerns around governance and cash flow. How would you counter those, Johnny?
So I think with the governance angle, We do believe there are opportunities within high yield and emerging market debt for active management, and we do support that way of managing the asset class. However, if there isn't the time and the governance burden to do it, passive solutions can also be very, very useful in this space. In terms of the cash flow element, I think this is where this could be key for pension schemes. I think this could be a real key differentiator, because these asset classes do have contractual cash flows. Now, they obviously don't come with the level of certainty that you get from investment grade, but they're still relatively certain. And we've done in a paper that we recently wrote, we showed how stable these were over the 08 crisis, the cash flows. This is very important, we think, for pension schemes who are facing significant cash flow, are becoming more and more cash flow negative, and having to find the cash. And sometimes pension schemes aren't well enough funded to go in and buy just investment grade credit, and they have to look for other sources.
Cash flow considerations for pension schemes have definitely been a topic that has become at the forefront of many conversations. And you have talked a bit about how these asset classes could be useful for that. But could you just expand a bit more on how that works in practice and the different ways that these asset classes could be used in that context?
So I think the best way that this could be this is used for is to have a distributing share class where you have an allocation to high yield and emerging market debt, where the coupons from those cash flows are distributed. These coupons can be taken into account in a cash flow aware type strategy, and I'll go in a little bit more in detail on why I say cash flow aware. But these can be taken into account and can be used to meet pension payments as they fall due. Now, as I said there, this is cash flow aware investing. So this is making sure that, you know, you're not foolishly reinvesting coupons when actually you need the cash flows and you're taking those off. This differs from cash flow matching. And the reason why it differs from cash flow matching is we believe that cash flow matching and this approach of getting a buy and maintain set of credit and having the cash flows meet your liabilities as they fall due, we think that is really an investment grade space. We don't think a buy maintain approach works with high yield or emerging market debt.
Okay. So presumably there are also some diversification benefits to having a wider asset class pool to provide cash flow for pension schemes. So could you comment a little bit more on that and also just give some comfort to investors around perhaps concerns in the face of a downturn about how stable the coupons or cash flows might be?
Yeah, so if I cover the first part of that question, I think, yes, high yield and emerging market debt are very, very important for the only free lunch that you get in investment, which is diversification. And if we've shown in one of our papers that we wrote of a sort of standard type portfolio that a pension scheme might invest in, one where it's just equities, investment grade credit and LDI. The other one had high yield and emerging market debt in there, same expected return, but a 10% risk reduction. And that was just solely down to diversification.
So I think when you consider the risk that there is in high yield and the emerging markets, what our work shows is that you're overcompensated for taking that risk, that you can seize whether we're going to call it the liquidity premium. As Johnny says, the stability of the income flows are high. And one of the reasons for that, and this is why active management works in this space, is because there's many variants actually within emerging markets and high yield. There's triple B rated emerging market governments, and you could, if you are more concerned about the environment that you're going into, you can buy those. And also within US, within high yield, you have lower rated companies which are rated triple C. Those have a higher tendency to default. Double B rated companies actually have a very low tendency to default. An ability to move from one to another within an active framework actually helps protect capital. And also can keep an income level at a fairly good level throughout the cycle. So the manager, depending on the situation and environment that we're facing, can actually change the risk profile to make sure that we're protecting to the downside in a dynamic fashion.
If we change tack slightly and just focus in on these alternative credit asset classes themselves, what typical mistakes do we see or you guys see investors making, and what do you think is the most important thing to think about or consider when you're considering an allocation to something like high yield or emerging market debt?
Well, I think on the first part of that question, and I alluded to it earlier, is I think we have seen some people looking to manage high yield and emerging market debt in the same way that you manage investment grade credit, and they are different beasts. And a buy and maintain approach to high yield and emerging market debt in this kind of cash flow matching type of way, that doesn't work. For one reason, that you have optionality within the bond cash flows that just doesn't work for a cash flow matching type approach. There's different markets, and you do have higher probabilities of default. So we honestly don't believe that that works, and we think it's not suitable to manage in that kind of fashion.
I think over my lifetime, what I've realised is that one of the bigger mistakes in any solution that one's trying to provide is not to have exposure to EM in high yield. As Johnny said, you get automatic diversification benefits. They're not 100% correlated to any asset class, and not 100% correlated to each other. So an allocation, no matter how small it is, will generally enhance a risk-adjusted return for any portfolio. So I think the mistakes that I have seen are that people will go to a zero-weight allocation. The other common mistake is when people have had an allocation in the face of a mark-to-market downturn, people sell. That's unfortunately what behavioural finance teaches us. That creates great opportunity for active investors. But these are asset classes, with the work that Johnny's done and that we do within our EM and high yield teams, show that actually living through the volatility, obviously if the active manager can add some value as well, but living through the volatility, you will get compensated throughout the cycle in the double B and B space and the emerging markets in the triple B area.
And just to reinforce that point on the mistake of having a zero allocation, it's fair to say, isn't it, that our multi-asset approach would always have an allocation to this asset class?
Yeah, and I think this is very key. When one of these sort of reasons that people don't invest in, they say, oh, well, you know, we're coming to the end of the cycle, so therefore I don't want to allocate to it now. Well, or spreads are too tight. And you can see that might, you can make arguments and see arguments why that might make you to reduce your allocation. But you never make that zero, or very rarely would that be zero. I mean, we'd have to talk to when we're looking at a pension scheme having zero allocation, that's a pension scheme that's almost ready to buy out. That would seem to be, you know, where high yield and emerging market debt are no longer needed because they're so well funded. So I think, and also the diversification helping in the downturn, I mean, there's often said that, oh, well, diversification, that go, you know, correlations go to one in the downturn. Well, that's not really true. I mean, yes, okay, they were quite highly correlated in the last big downturn, but if we go back to the one before then, where equities fell, I believe it was about 30%, you high yield and dollar EMD, they didn't really move at all. In fact, I think EMD actually gained, posted positive performance over that time. So I think you do get a diversification benefit even in a downturn. And I think just looking at it and saying, oh, well, you know, spreads are a little tighter than they have been, say that means zero allocation, I would disagree with that.
And also one of the other things that Johnny and I have talked about is the reason that you don't get that 100% correlation, you might get that on any one particular day or one particular month, is because these are bonds that we are talking about. It's bonds which generally have maturities of 3, 4, or 5 years. It's a tremendous pull to par. So unless we're going through one of the an absolutely horrific default cycle, as the bond pulls to par, you get an automatic uplift in the price, which means the recovery periods after a sell-off for emerging market bonds, for high-yield bonds, it's much quicker than in equity, which can stay low for a prolonged period of time.
And I think that's incredibly important from a learning or an educational point of view for investors, because that fact often gets forgotten or overlooked when considering the risk of investing in this asset class. So we've talked a lot about generally why you might use emerging market debt or high yield in the cash flow benefits that it gives you, the diversification it can give you as part of a wider asset allocation. But I might turn up the heat a little bit for the last question on Martin and say that if we are going to invest in high yield, for example, and we think an active approach is best, how have you been able to generate alpha and maximise returns versus benchmark?
I think it goes back to some of the key parts of portfolio management. One, to have diversification, because it's not quite so much about maximising returns, but it's maximising risk-adjusted returns. Okay. It's understanding that sometimes it's good to have a lower yield, avoid some defaults, and get a better risk-adjusted return, and that will actually produce a better CAGR and a better return over the long term. Having diversification, having specialists supported by economists and fundamental credit analysts as well, that helps you manage through the cycle, and also gives you the strength that you need, strength of mind, to be able to live with when the market moves against you, which is very important. So being able to control your emotion when a market moves against you is very important. Diversification, understanding the risks, and also being able to deal with the emotional side of investing, which is what great processes create, is key.
Well, thank you to both Johnny and Martin for joining us today. The key takeaways I hope we've outlined are that high yield and emerging market debt can be a very useful tool for pension schemes as part of their overall strategy to generate a bit of extra return whilst helping with the cash flow problem that many schemes face, and at the same time giving a bit of extra diversification. So that's it from us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcasts app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookouts for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of recording and do not reflect the views of Legal & General Investment Management. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. And remember to share this podcast with your investment professional friends, colleagues, or even family members. And to find more great content from Legal & General Investment Management, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.